It is our second Saturday podcast. This thing went over really well last week, guys. Here's the great part about it. I called for a sponsor, and we want to give props to our friends at jasonsroofs.com. Again, that's jasonsroofs.com. The reason we have a Saturday podcast is because, hey, you know, it's Saturday. The world doesn't stop for you hardworking dudes on Saturday. You got stuff to do, and you want to listen to content about your Cyclones. We don't stop on Friday, and neither do the guys at jasonsroofs.com. Really good dudes, and they stepped up to sponsor the Cyclone Fanatic Saturday podcast. What do? Commercial roofing for all different kinds of low-slope roofs, and they are looking for contractors who are invested in adding this to their existing product lines or business. Check them out at jasonsroofs.com. If you could use that today, Jared Stansberry welcomes me. I welcome you to the Saturday podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. I think this is going to be a popular feature. It certainly was last week. Welcome to the podcast.
Saturdays are for the clones. Let's go.
Hell yeah. I like that. Let's get to the top news of the last couple of days. And what we're going to do for today's Saturday podcast, guys, is we're going to really break down Iowa State basketball recruiting. As things have changed over the last couple of days, Jeff Beverly, the graduate transfer out of Texas San Antonio, made his commitment on Thursday. It was not a surprise. Beverly was telling anybody who wanted to know how badly he wanted to be a Cyclone. But now let's break it down, what it actually means for this roster next year. I guess, Jared, you're our basketball guru. You go first. What kind of a pickup is this, in your opinion?
I mean, I think that Steve Prohm hit on it pretty well in the release that Iowa State just put out here before we started recording. But, you know, if nothing else...
What did he say, in case somebody hasn't read
okay,
that?
Okay, here, I'll...
Just read his quote
for us.
Pull
it up here. Quote, Jeff adds depth to our program on the inside, which we need with the loss of multiple contributors on the interior. He is a guy that fits our system offensively, and he provides experience. Jeff has a good feel for how we play and for our system, and he is excited to be a Cyclone. I'm really looking forward to getting him here in June. So he's not exactly a guy that's going to come in and you can expect to tear it up. You can't expect him to be a George Niang type guy in the middle, I wouldn't think. But
no.
If nothing else, he's a guy that averaged 15 points and 6 boards at a Division I university. And he'll come in and he'll probably play hard and he'll add some depth to the interior, which they didn't have, obviously. Outside of Solomon Young and Cameron Lard.
He's undersized. He's 6'6", but he is 250 pounds. The thing I like about him...
And it sounds like he might not actually be 6'6", from what?
He's more like 6'4".
Yeah, from other things
I've read. So he's 6'4", but 250 pounds.
Yeah, he was a tight end. He walked on as a tight end at Texas San Antonio.
This
is his fourth school in 5 years.
That really is my favorite part about him.
Yeah.
It's just that he's a football player. Because I think that we can look at this roster for next year, unless something crazy happens, and you can say, wow, it's not nearly as skilled as what we're used to.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to find different ways to win. They're not going to go out there and hit 15 threes in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted me to spin why this is a great pickup for Iowa State, I don't know if I'd use the word great, but why it's a good pickup for Iowa State, it's because this, to me, looks like a dude who will go and get his nose dirty. Like, what Iowa State needs from this guy, they need him to be Dustin Hogue his junior year.
Yeah.
Not Dustin Hogue his senior year. They need Dustin Hogue his junior year, where he was just, you know, garbage man out there, just working his ass off, playing harder than everybody, you know, throw an elbow every now and then. That's what I hope they get out of this guy. I don't think his stats will carry over.
No. However,
you're right, though. I mean, I would rather have Jeff Beverly for a year than reach on some JUCO.
Or a high school kid that...
Yeah.
Like offense to Simeon Carter, but a Simeon Carter type guy.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to get... it's pretty late in the game. If you want to get better for next year, this guy just made Iowa State better. To what extent, I don't know. I think if you had Shakir Juice in your tournament team, I don't think Jeff Beverly really does that for you.
Right.
However, I'm kind of looking forward at this point, Jared, to this Princeton kid. I'm kind of intrigued by this man named Hans Brace. Because he wasn't that bad as a junior, and then he blew out his ACL and didn't play last year. I mean, he's an intriguing guy to me. I mean, and he's another guy who doesn't shoot threes. So I'm looking at this, like, I'm breaking down this roster, and I'm going, what is this team going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know what this team's going to do. Donovan can shoot. I think Lindell can shoot.
Yeah.
And I'm positive that what's his name? Terrence Lewis, he can shoot the three as well, but he's a freshman. You don't know.
Well, and I think you'll see, you know, the difference between Steve Prohm's offense, I think, in these first 2 years since he got to Iowa State and then his couple of years at Murray was that he never had big guys that were skilled, kind of yeah. like what they've had, you know, in George Niang and then what you had with Deontay Burton. So I would think that maybe, you know, this Beverly, if they can get Brace, Solomon Young, Cameron Lard, I think they're going to be asked more to do more of that high pick and roll because I think that that's what they did a lot there at Murray with Cameron Payne and Isaiah Cannon and stuff like that. I wouldn't be surprised to see that be the majority of their role rather than those ISO situations that they would get some of those other guys into.
Mm-hmm.
And offensively, they'll be more of support players than they are like marquee guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, but doesn't that make you concerned too? Because it does me. The way Iowa State's been successful the last 6 years is mismatches.
Well, I think that you still want to be able to create those mismatches, but at the same
time, how are they going to do that with this roster would be my question.
I don't know.
Any of those?
See, that's the thing. But if you're going to try and get those guys into those high pick and rolls, then you're mm-hmm. almost trying to force teams to switch, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can get those guards trying to go downhill against bigger guys and stuff like that.
I need to, and I think a lot of people listening need to, we have to get the last 6 years out of our head.
They're just
at
not
this point, because they're not going to be able to do that.
Right. They just don't have a guy like a George Niang or a Deontay Burton that's just a mismatch nightmare. At least not right now.
I mean, let's look at this list, and Shayok maybe is that guy, but he's not playing.
Yeah. Even then, that's like a maybe.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't think Kasongo's probably even going to see the rotation from what I hear. Okay, so you know what you're getting in Jackson. Beverly, I mean, he was one of the worst three-point shooters in all of college basketball last year.
Is Nick Weiler-Babb going to be your mismatch man?
No. No.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Cameron Lard will be able to give you minutes, but I don't know how good he'll be.
I mean, I think you're just going to have to hope that these freshmen can come in and come in and do it.
That's the key to next year.
I really think that, yeah, that's what's going to come down to is if Lindell and Terrence Wiggins or Terrence Lewis and maybe even Darius McNeil, I don't know, if they can come in and do something and show you something, then that could be what really the season hinges on. Weird. You haven't seen that in a long time for Iowa State, probably.
Been a really long time. Been a really, really long time. Let's do a little hypothetical here. They get this kid from Princeton. Let's name our starting five at that point.
Okay.
Let's just walk through scenarios here because I'm having a really hard time, if you can't tell already, putting together what the hell this roster is going to look like.
Well, I'd say Donovan and Lindell are locks.
Yes, that's your one and your two. And
Solomon Young's a lock, I would say.
So would you put Beverly has to play the four?
Yeah, probably.
And you'll have Weiler-Babb at the three.
So if you had Donovan, Lindell, Weiler-Babb, okay, then go Solomon at the four, and then you could go with that Brace guy at the five. He's 6'9".
Yeah.
And then you bring Beverly off the bench.
Yeah.
Bring Beverly, Terrence Lewis, and Colby Long and Cameron Lard off the bench. Then maybe Darius McNeil. I don't know if he'll play right away.
Is that team in the NIT?
I think they would be. I don't know. I wouldn't put my life savings on it. Do you think they would be?
Right now?
Probably not.
I would say no right now.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, and that's unfair because I've never seen Jeff Beverly play, so yeah. maybe he's something else. I hope he is, and I like the fact that he's as excited as he is about being at Iowa State. That's great. He's going to work really hard.
Right.
He's probably going to be a Cap City League highlight reel, I would guess, one of those dudes. You got to I think Jackson's a nice player. Like, I think that he's a guy you win with in the Big 12.
Right.
He needs a sidekick. And if this hinges on Wigginton to me.
If he can come in right away.
If he can live up to his hype.
Yeah.
It's probably an NIT team.
Yeah.
If he's anything, like, below that. Like, I think they could be losing record.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
I hate to like.
I feel like this team has a relatively, okay, not a high ceiling, but a not super low ceiling, but then they also have a low floor, you know?
Like they could be terrible?
Not like terrible, but like not very good.
They're talented.
Losing record bad enough, you know?
Let's see what happens. Okay, so, and that's we're assuming if they get the Princeton kid. In that scenario.
Which I think that they will.
You think that they will?
I wouldn't be. I mean, who else does he have in his list? Nebraska and Georgia Tech and.
Georgia Tech's the one that scares me. I mean, they're an up-and-coming program.
Josh Pastner.
I wouldn't go to Nebraska if I were him.
Are they an up-and-coming? Is Georgia Tech an up-and-coming program?
Well, I mean, Pastner was there for 1 year. They did really well in the NIT. He had a good year last year for his first year.
Yeah, I guess. I think he was the ACC Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he had a nice year.
I don't know about that, though. Iowa State or Georgia Tech? I think I'd still go to Iowa State, but that's just my opinion.
Well, you're biased, as am I. Lard's a key. If Lard can be better than we think he is, more like what a lot of the message board thinks he is, then that will be clutch.
So if he can come in and play like Shaquille O'Neal?
I don't think anybody's calling him Shaq.
Sorry, new KG.
There you go. It's more like KG. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see. The good thing is that when you look at next year's team, you look at Beverly and you look at Jackson, and those are the only guys leaving. So then you can go. It's kind
well,
of.
And if they get Brace, then he'd leave too.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Hans. But see, that's the good thing with like a guy like Beverly, and if you get Hans Brace,
they clear
even
out.
Even if they come in and they stink, they're going to be gone anyway. So
correct. It'll be fun, though, to watch McNeil, Wigginton, Lewis, and Lard. I mean, you can just watch them develop throughout the year and,
right.
And see what happens. Even a Solomon Young. I mean, what do you put his upside? Because he kind of came on at the end of last year. I don't know if he's a guy who could put a team on his back yet. But
no, I mean, by the time he's a senior, I could see him being the second-best player on the team. You know, I don't think you want him to be your best player.
No.
Unless he gets a lot better. But him and Lindell, that would make for a nice 1-2 punch, I think, by the time that they're senior, junior, if Lindell's still at Iowa State. Which, if he's not, then obviously some good stuff probably happened.
Saturday podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com.
I think we just depressed everybody on Saturday.
Well, I didn't mean to. That wasn't the intention of today's podcast. It's presented by jasonsroofs.com, where they provide hands-on training in advertising, sales, and applications. They're looking for contractors interested in adding all different kinds of low-slope roofs to their existing product lines or business. jasonsroofs.com, quality roofs since 2008.
It's just tough once you look at the roster and you like see all the names right there. You're just like, it's not the same as when you're thinking about it in your head and you don't look at it on paper like that. You know what I mean?
If you had Justin, we're having a major different conversation.
Yeah.
The one that what stung for me the most. Even more than missing Justin was Morrow.
Yeah,
because I thought they would get him. I thought there was some funny business going on with Justin at the end, and I got really nervous. Morrow's the guy. I thought that was a lock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that he would have really came in and fit well.
He would have been good next year.
Yeah, he would. That would have been a really good fit
him
for him
Shyock
and the team.
In the front court next year with Solomon.
Yeah,
that would have been a really nice front court.
I thought his guys liked Lindell too.
So did I. That's what I was told.
You can't trust those
handlers.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Beautiful Saturday here. Quick shout out to Jason Luch. He's one of the owners of the website and the J Boys Echo Horse, competing at the Kentucky Derby today. Do you like the Kentucky Derby? Do you ever watch it? You don't seem like a Derby guy.
No, I can't say I ever have.
You've never watched a Kentucky Derby?
I think I have, but I'm not. It's not one of those things where on Saturday I'm counting down the minutes to the Kentucky Derby.
Man, I am.
I think I think I might have watched last year just to see how Jason's horse did.
J-Boy's Echo starting from the 13 post today. And
that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good draw.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's a good draw. You want to be in the middle, and that's about as close to the middle as you can as you can get, obviously. He told me he wanted to be between like 5 and 14, and he got the 13, so that's good. It's been fun to watch. I mean, I don't know a ton about horse racing, but it's always nice when you have a local connection there. And half of the Cyclone Fanatic ownership group is down there at the Derby today, so cheering for them. What are you doing over there?
I was just looking at the odds here.
He's at like 20-1, I believe.
25-1 now.
Oh, he dropped to 25-1. Get your money in now on J-Boy's Echo.
Yeah, there you go. You should be a horse racing announcer. That was a horse racing announcer's voice right there.
I can do any kind of announcer voice. I've done it all. I've done anything from dirt track racing to 1A girls volleyball to high school football.
I heard your story you told one day about a Clarinda Academy volleyball game.
Oh, yeah. I was calling a Clarinda Academy volleyball game. And the girls, this is Girls Academy, and it was their first year open for business.
Yeah.
And they had no talent at all. It was actually really sad. And I had to call their game because they were playing Shenandoah, the town that we broadcast in. And they didn't return a serve or get a serve over the entire time.
I believe it. Played Clarinda one of the years I was in high school.
I was out of there in like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It was great.
They played Clarinda in the basketball playoffs one of the years that I was in high school, too. They had a girl that sat down at half court and stopped.
Bloom called that game.
Stopped playing. Yeah.
Bloom was calling that game.
Yeah, that's something
Bloom,
else.
That's Bloom's great Southwest Iowa moment. Yeah, he called that game. That's crazy. You guys need to talk about that.
And everybody that was there had to pay money to get in, too, because it was a state playoff
game. Just to watch that poor girl sit on the floor and refuse to play?
Yeah.
Jeez. The good old days. I always liked calling those games, though. Not those specifically, but I enjoyed
the Clarinda Academy and Clarinda High School boys games.
You guys had some good duels.
Were crazy.
Duels back in the day, yeah. All right. I'll be watching the Derby. I got me some Woodford Reserve Double Oak. That's what they apparently drink down in Kentucky. That's what I'll be doing this weekend.
I'll bring some Busch Light.
Talladega coming up tomorrow for NASCAR. I'll be locked into that. And I got one of those weekends where my wife works.
Oh, yeah.
So that means it's just me and Cammy. It's total daddy-daughter all over the place this weekend.
I'll be waiting for Golden State, Utah, 7:30 tonight.
Oh, that's tonight?
Yeah.
Golden State will win that game by today. Like 15 points.
Yeah, well, how much did they win by last night? Or Thursday night, actually.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I went to bed.
I'm not really paying a whole lot of attention until it's Golden State and the Cavs. Once Freddie got knocked out. What do you think about Freddie coming back next year?
I mean, I wasn't surprised.
No, nor was I.
I think that if they would have fired him, I don't have much faith in the Bulls front office as of right now anyway.
Nor should you.
But I would have had even less faith in them than I already did, which is pretty tough.
Yeah. I completely understand. I just wonder, I wonder what the best case scenario is for Fred at this point. Do you want to rebuild?
Yes.
But he's not. They won't let him survive. That's the problem. He's screwed either way. Because me as a Bulls fan, and I'm not counting Freddie in on this, I go, hey, trade Jimmy Butler, get as many assets as you can, and let's start this thing over.
If the Celtics don't get the number one pick with their Brooklyn pick, and they offer that for Jimmy Butler, take it. That's what I say.
So who would you get out of that? Josh Jackson.
You get Josh Jackson, maybe Lonzo.
I don't want Lonzo. Are you kidding me? You're going to put Lonzo in with Fred after all he's had to deal with? You're going to give him that guy?
Maybe Fred would get a free pair of his shoes.
Jeez. No, he's screwed either way.
Yeah, that's the problem.
If they rebuild, they're going to suck next year, and all the idiot fans are going to blame Fred again.
Yeah.
And if they hold on to all these old guys, they're going to be like the 7 or 8 seed. Everybody's going to want Fred fired again. He's screwed either way.
If only he would have been able to go to Minnesota. Would be a much different career trajectory.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who said that.
Mm-hmm.
when he left. But
you didn't know that what was going to happen in Minnesota, though. With Flip died not that long after.
Yeah, and there's like that. A lot of stuff he couldn't control. You're right.
Yeah, it just stinks. He got that whole Chicago deal was just bad. It was a house of cards, kind of, when he got there.
Yeah, and then D Rose got hurt again.
Yeah,
and then
he decided to be a douche.
Yeah, it just. Man, you could tell that he was screwed from media day.
Yeah.
When you had Mike Dunleavy up there running his mouth and D Rose is talking about, man, I got to be able to feed my kids and all this stuff.
I thought it was very telling about what even the front office thinks of Fred, though, when they were up on the podium the other day talking about how D Wade approves of Fred. So therefore, we're going to approve of him. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I know, man. I know. All right. Saturday podcast. We keep these short. Short, sweet, to the point. Jasonsroofs.com. They stepped up to the plate to sponsor the Saturday podcast. Check them out. Jasonsroofs.com for all of your commercial roofing needs. He's Jared. I'm Chris. Have a great weekend. Weather's awesome. Get outside. Enjoy time with the family. Later, guys.